Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer. Firehouse Subs, enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Welcome to our weekly show where we talk soccer in Atlanta, in Georgia, in the Southeast, in the United States, in this hemisphere, on the planet. That's what we do. We're going to hit a lot of that tonight on AST, but we're going to start, a lot of times we start with Atlanta United. We're going to talk about that in the second segment. Quite a few things to talk about there. But let's start with the news of the day, the U.S. men's national team. No, it's not about the game that happened tonight. That was not the best viewing experience. 1-1 draw, really fluky goal for New Zealand at the end. A clearance that goes off the face of the New Zealand attacker and into the back of the net. Kind of sums up this window where the U.S. lost to Canada over the weekend, drew with New Zealand, didn't look great in doing either. It looked almost like they were distracted, maybe because we've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting after all of the reports about Mauricio Pochettino taking over the U.S. men's national team. Well, it is now finally official. That was announced at about 6:30 today, about 30 minutes before the match. I'm sure the players knew ahead of that. But this was a really... I don't even want to say wasted opportunity in these two games. It goes to a greater conversation about where international soccer is right now, where you have UEFA Nations League going on, you have Asian World Cup qualifying going on, you have South American World Cup qualifying going on, you have the African Cup of Nations qualifying going on, and then you have CONCACAF and you have Oceania, and they want to play games against one another because what else are they going to do? It's not a good situation in the broader sense of it. The U.S. didn't make the most of it. Maybe a few players raised their profile. Maybe a few players kind of lowered their profile. But this window is not the headline. The games are not the headline. The announcement today is the headline. If you do not know who Mauricio Pochettino is, he's 52 years old. He has had successful stints with Tottenham, with PSG, with Chelsea, maybe not so much on the successful side of it, but who can be successful at Chelsea when you have 97 players you have to manage. He came to the fore at Southampton. Espanyol is where he started in Europe. This is a man who has had great success as a manager, not so much on the trophy side. And look, that was part of the conversation here that U.S. soccer has established. They wanted a winner. He has won. He has not won a whole lot of trophies. He took Tottenham to the UEFA Champions League final in 2019, their first ever. Consistently got into the top four in the Premier League. That is an accomplishment when you're talking about Tottenham. He took over PSG. He won the Ligue 1 title. He won the Coupe de France. He won their Super Cup. He got to the semifinals of the Champions League. All expectations when it comes to PSG. he's done a very good job in developing high-level players. I think you look at Harry Kane's development, and you can look at Pochettino as someone who can take a lot of credit for a lot of that. As a player, 20 caps with the Argentine national team. He played for Newell's Old Boys. He played for Espanyol. He did play for PSG, Bordeaux. He's fluent in Spanish, French, English. He is going to work with U.S. soccer on more than just being the head coach, according to the reports. And that's something I am looking forward to when it comes to Pochettino. This was a very interesting global search that ended up with Pochettino. I think he was one of their top choices at U.S. soccer from the very, very beginning, and they got it done. And it was not easy to get it done. In fact, they had to get some help from a philanthropic leadership gift, as it was termed in the press release, from Kenneth C. Griffin, the founder and CEO of Citadel and founder of Griffin Catalyst. There was additional support provided by Scott Goodwin, co-founder and managing partner of Diameter, and several commercial partners. Why is that the case? Well, Pochettino had a contract with Chelsea that was going to pay him out even after they agreed to part ways. So he was going to get paid. Well, people don't like to lose money. Chelsea was going to be off the hook if he took another job. And there was negotiations going on back and forth between U.S. soccer and Chelsea and trying to get Chelsea to basically pay the difference on what they would have paid him minus what U.S. soccer wanted to pay him. Now you're going to get into a conversation, as we've talked about equal pay and figuring out how that looks, where you have Emma Hayes, who has won an Olympic gold medal with the U.S. women's national team, who was making what Greg Berhalter was making at the base level. The bonuses and things changed the overall payout, but at the base level, Emma Hayes making the same amount as Greg Berhalter. Is that going to be the case now? Emma Hayes was actually a big part of going out and helping U.S. soccer get Mauricio Pochettino because they shared time at Chelsea. Great article at The Athletic, highly recommended. Paul Tenorio and many others contributed to this. A couple of nuggets from it, just so you understand the search aspect of it before we get into what to expect with Pochettino on the field. So they wanted to get a winner, so they were going to go after big names. And I think that was something that a lot of U.S. men's national team fans wanted to see them do. Well, you know, like, that's not always as easy to pull off as it is to say you're going to go after big names. They went after Jurgen Klopp. They had multiple meetings with Klopp, according to The Athletic. It seemed like at the time when it was announced that he said no, that it was one meeting. According to The Athletic, they had multiple meetings. Talks with Pochettino started very early and it continued to move along. They met again 4 days later. Pochettino and his lead assistant were very engaged in this process. They were very interested in the process, what they would do. They laid out their plans of what they wanted to do in their first few months. Emma Hayes got involved, honestly lobbying on both sides of it. She called Pochettino to tell him about her experiences with U.S. soccer. She also told U.S. soccer about how good he was and to really be a reference in a lot of ways for him. So even to the point that she's checking in with U.S. soccer the day of the Olympic semifinal, and that shows the engagement there. Pochettino met with all of the U.S. soccer leadership around this time because they were in Europe. He was in Barcelona, where he lives. And one, I thought, kind of a nice point in the article at The Athletic was Pochettino pointed out his respect for Cindy Parlow-Cohn, the U.S. soccer president, because she was the only World Cup winner in the room. You know, I think sometimes we in this country forget about how Cindy Parlow-Cohn is viewed internationally as a World Cup winner and as a great, an absolute great in the women's game. One of my all-time favorite players. Played for the Atlanta Beat, if you did not know. So they get the money together, and Ken Griffin gets involved in helping do that after some reach outs from U.S. soccer. There were some delays as they're trying to work through the money on the U.S. soccer side and through the Chelsea side of it. There's lawyers. Of course, there's billable hours, all those things. Well, then you also started to have the rumor mill pop up and talk about Eddie Howe at Newcastle and Erik ten Hag at Manchester United. Manchester United talked about Pochettino, at least in some vague way, over the summer while they left Erik ten Hag out to dry. And I guess now they're going to do that again because welcome to Manchester United. Well, Pochettino resisted any temptation to say, you know what, I'm going to wait and see if any jobs open in the Premier League. He said, no, this is what I want to do. So the deal that they have, it does protect U.S. soccer against a risk of a European club poaching Pochettino. There's a material buyout in the contract, according to The Athletic. Both sides feel the partnership is solidly set through 2026. Now, here's the deal when we get into this, and we're talking about Maurizio Pochettino and taking over the U.S. men's national team on Atlanta Soccer tonight. I'm Jason Longshore, and when you talk about Pochettino, he's never managed a national team. It is very different. This is a man who has a, I don't want to say rigid, because I don't think that's fair. I think we've seen in his time, especially at PSG and a little bit at Chelsea, that he will adapt based off what he has to work with. And he's going to have to do that here. But he does have an identity in how he wants his team to play. And national teams, it's a lot harder to create that identity in a short period of time. And frankly, he has a short period of time. He's got an October window and a November window this year. I don't know if they'll do something in January, probably, but that's not exactly the full national team. He'll have March next year. He'll have the Gold Cup next summer. He'll have friendly windows, again, which are not going to be the best windows in the world, in the fall of 2025. He'll have another January camp. He'll have another March window in 2026. That might be one where he can get some interesting opponents to really test his group. Then he'll have some pre-World Cup friendlies, and then he's in the World Cup. Like, that's what he has ahead of him. So building an identity is not going to be easy. When you talk about his identity that we have seen, fullbacks, wingbacks, very important to that process. He likes wingers who come inside into the pockets. He wants the fullbacks and the wingbacks to provide the width high up the field. He is a positional play disciple, so he wants to create numerical advantages all over the field. As you saw with Harry Kane at Spurs, he's completely comfortable with the number nine dropping into midfield as long as others rotate forward. I think you saw Son and Kane really have great effect with that. And that's something you could be looking for with a nine, and whether it's Christian Pulisic, whether it's Gio Reyna in that kind of a role popping forward. He is also on the numerical superiority side. That also applies to how they defend. So his earlier teams, very intense with high pressing up the field, counter pressing, all about having guys around the ball when you have the ball. So then when you lose it, you can win it back quickly. Now that's evolved a little bit over the years. He had to evolve that during his time at PSG, for example, because he had Neymar, Messi, Mbappe, Angel Di Maria all in the same team very often. And you're not going to get the same intensity with the press with that group. So you have to adapt. They dropped into a little bit more of a mid block there, and they trap teams in the middle third. You have to find that. So that ability to adapt is going to be very important with a national team. He likes to have one fullback or wingback go forward at a time. The other one tucks in to create a pseudo line of three. Also, he's completely comfortable with one of those central midfielders dropping to make it a line of four, dropping to the side where the fullback went. He wants a goalkeeper who's comfortable in build up play. These are things to look for as you start to think about what a Maurizio Pochettino U.S. men's national team can look like. Christian Pulisic spoke to the media spoke to the TV broadcast after the U.S. draw tonight, and he talked about wanting Pochettino to come in and help push the culture forward for this group and create a culture that is more comfortable at taking risks. I think also wanting to see more fight in this group. I do think right now this team is a little deflated, and that's something that he's going to have to come in and build up, and that's something I think he's very good at. You didn't see a good performance against Canada. Mikey Veris, the interim manager, talked about it. He said, you know, look, this is on the players to show the intensity and to show these things. The coaches can only do so much. I also think there is some severe overreaction right now and maybe rewriting of history when you just look at the record book for this team over the past few games. Go back to the Copa America, and we talked about it then, and I'll remind you of it again. The tournament looks very different if Tim Weah doesn't pick up a red card in Atlanta in game two against Panama. I thought the U.S. played their best game of the tournament against Uruguay, who is a semifinalist in the competition. two dumb friendlies here, honestly, with a lot of uncertainty that I think unsteadied the group. This team has to be better than they have been in 2024. But if you don't have that red card in Copa America and this team gets to the knockout round, we might not even be having this conversation about a new manager. That's how thin the margins are when we talk about the national team. Plenty more as we go on Mauricio Pochettino. He is arriving in the U.S., I believe, tomorrow. He'll speak to the media this week. We'll be talking about it all on all of the podcasts. Make sure you're following Off the Woodwork wherever you get your podcasts or on the Odyssey app. Now, coming up next, we're going to get into Atlanta United. There have been changes at the top. There has been preparation for a match and a very busy week coming up for the Five Stripes. We'll talk about it right after this on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Talked about the hiring of Mauricio Pochettino in segment number one. Atlanta United is in a very interesting situation going into this week. I'm sure all of you who are hardcore fans have heard the news about Carlos Bocanegra being let go by the club. Mike Conti and I recorded a special Atlanta Soccer Tonight a few hours after the announcement came out, and hopefully you've checked that out to get our thoughts on it as it was all fresh. When I signed off from AST last Tuesday night, I had no idea that 11 hours later, that change would be announced. I was actually out at the training ground. We were working on some features on Atlanta United 2 with soccer down here, and the news broke as we were there. So it's been, I think, a weird feel after that, because Carlos was here from almost day one. And now, when you look at what Atlanta United is facing, not even on the field right now, we're going to talk about that here in a second. You have two designated player spots that are available to be filled for the next season. You have the head coach vacancy that is available to be filled whenever you want. And you have now a vice president, technical director, general manager, whatever term you want to put to it. That vacancy is available to be filled now. Those are four very important figures in a club. And you have one designated player, and I think he's going to be a very important figure in this club, and he's going to be a very important figure on the pitch on Saturday. That's Alexi Maranchuk. Just watching him in training today, the full session was open to media and had a chance to watch it. There were fans there as well. Some of the things that Alexi does are jaw-dropping. And look, it's different than Thiago Almada making your jaw drop with a long-range bomb or a dribbling run like one of the last goals that we saw against DC on the road. You're not going to see as much of that. I think maybe you will over time. I think as he adapts to the league and the way the spacing is in this league at times, I think you might see a little bit more on the dribble from him. But this is a player who is just so good with the ball and plays so quickly. You're going to see this team look a little bit different rhythm-wise because of that. You saw some of that in Charlotte in a good win on the road. And now I think with time, training, with the majority of the group, you're going to see more of that this upcoming week, where it is a very, very important week for Atlanta United. There were games in the international break in the league, and results of those games have pushed Atlanta out of the playoffs as they currently sit. They are 1 point out of ninth. DC United is there now. They are 2 points out of eighth. That would host the play-in game. That is Toronto right now, and they are 6 points out of seventh. Seven games to play. That's 21 possible points. Just to keep going, just to be clear, 7 points out of sixth, 8 points out of fifth. That's where things stand right now. Also, keep in mind, Atlanta has a game in hand on both Toronto and DC. Also the Red Bulls, but they're 12 points ahead. Philadelphia has that game in hand as well. New England has two games in hand. They did not pick up full points in their game during the international break. So Atlanta will go into Saturday 1 point out of the playoffs, 2 points out of hosting the first game in the playoffs, and 6 points out of avoiding the play-in round. Other games in the East, it's Atlanta hosting Nashville on Saturday, Cincinnati hosting Columbus. They're up in the top four and kind of out of reach. DC hosting New York City. New York City is in fifth right now. Miami hosting Philadelphia. You're going to see Miami on Wednesday, and Philadelphia is behind you. Montreal hosting Charlotte. Charlotte is in sixth right now, 7 points ahead of you. Montreal is chasing. They are 4 points back. Orlando's hosting New England. Mentioned New England having a game in hand. They're chasing you. Orlando, you would love to get into that spot where they are in seventh and avoid the play-in game. Toronto, the other team you're really looking hard at, they are hosting Austin. Out west, Austin is on the outside looking in. They are 2 points out of the playoffs in the West. So that kind of sets the table for this weekend against Nashville, a team that is behind you in the table, a team that is technically right now in last place in the East, but 5 points behind you, a team that is 2-8-3 on the road. Atlanta's only 5-5-3 at home. That's something that you want to see change. Had a chance to talk to Brooks Lennon and Brad Gazan today after training. Let's start with Brad talking about kind of the building blocks of how he wants to see this team look and play in their final seven games. Here's Brad Gazan from the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta training ground this morning.
That's the nature of the game, right? Defending and attacking. You know, you've got to be able to defend. You got to be able to attack. And, you know, we now as a group need to try and go into a match day and put it together and make sure the focus and concentration is there to hopefully allow us to do that.
Will Alexi help y'all do that?
I certainly think so. I think you guys have seen now more than a glimpse of him in terms of his quality and what he brings when he's on the field and what he brings when he's on the ball. So that part's encouraging and exciting. And, you know, with every passing day in terms of training and being amongst the guys, and, you know, he's starting to feel more and more comfortable, which is only going to help us.
Like I said, I think he looked really comfortable today. He had a couple plays where I was just like, wow. The quality that he has. Brad described him as silky. I think that's a term that I've used as well, talking about how he looks at times on the field. But it's putting the pieces together. This team at times has defended well, at times has attacked well, but not often doing both at the same time. And they're going to need that in these final seven games. Here's Brooks Lennon from after training earlier this morning.
Yeah, just kind of no fear, you know, no fear. And at times, you know, having nothing to lose, you know, we've gotten ourselves in this position. And, you know, I think it's a good position to be in right now because, you know, we're fighting to get into the playoffs. And, you know, that means that every single match matters and is almost like a final for us. So, yeah, the training's been really, really good. We've all had, you know, good attitudes. Everyone's been working hard, and you know, we're waiting on two or three guys to get back from international duty, and we'll have the full squad and, you know, attack these last seven games with everything that we have.
So that was in response. That was Brooks Lennon from the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta training ground this morning. That was in response to a question I asked him about kind of what Rob Valentino has been pushing towards the guys, what he wants them to be in these final seven games. You know, we talked about it before, and I do think this is still important to drive home. When Valentino took over, the team was playing three games a week, and you had no time for real training sessions. I think he might have had one or two, like, real full-intensity training sessions before the League's Cup. Maybe. I might be stretching it to two. I don't think he got a third one in. I'm not 100% sure there was a second one that was at full intensity. You've had that now since the League's Cup, and then getting two games in a normal routine, and then getting an extra week with international, although you were missing Sabo Lobjanidze. That hurts you a little bit in your attacking planning. You're missing Luis Abram, who can be part of the back line. You're missing Bartosz Lisz, who's important in that midfield. You were missing some pieces in this last week and a half that you've been working since the win against Charlotte, but you've had time to work with the majority of the group. You didn't have that before. So now I think you're starting to see identity kind of emerge. I talked to Brooks and Brad about that. I also talked to Ronald Hernandez about that. And Madison Cruz and I had a chance to catch up with Ronald after training. Going to be a feature coming up on the Soccer Down Here website. Make sure you're following Soccer Down Here on your social media platforms. Ronald, first off, I think you've heard myself, you've heard Mike Conti talk about it. I think you've heard Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman talk about it. Ronald is absolutely one of the good guys in this group, and he is so very thoughtful about the club, and he gives everything that he has for this club. It was just such a cool conversation with him today, and I wanted to share the last question that I asked him and his answer to that. We kind of went back to the theme of the day, talking to media about, you know, what is it going to take for this team to get it done? And I said, if this team gets into the playoffs in a good way and makes a run, what is the one thing that is the most important thing that they will do to make that happen? Here's what Ronald Hernandez had to say to that.
Consistency. For me, consistency. We have the human resources. We have all the resources here, just consistency, and then try to put those small details that were missing throughout the season together. And yes, we need to believe in ourselves at the end of the day. Once we, and then go by the game by the game by the. Future will come, past is already in the past, but if we can control what we can control in that day, I'm pretty sure that we can do something special at the end.
Ronald was getting poetic at times as we were talking today. It was really cool. Getting him back is going to be part of that process to being a little more consistent. I think he's a very stable force, whether it's from the start or off the bench. He was playing so well, replacing Caleb Wiley after the transfer before Pedro Amador was able to join the group, and just in such good form, and then had the worst injury timing of his career, possibly. He is back. He has been training. He has played with Atlanta United too. These are very important things when you look at the depth of this group going into these games, which you're going to need because you play at home against Nashville. Then you host Miami on the next Wednesday. We'll talk about that on Tuesday and get deeper into it. Lionel Messi is back in training with Miami. He did not play for Argentina during this window. We get caught up in Argentina and South American World Cup qualifying in the 3-4-3. That's not going to be easy. Then you follow that up by going to Red Bull Arena. That's not going to be easy. So these next three games, all next week, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, going to be some serious challenges for Atlanta United. I think you're going to need 20 players. I think you're going to get that many that contribute in those games. Not all from the start, obviously. Not all starting games. Some of them are going to be off the bench in all three games. You're going to need, I think, a little bit of what all three guys said in the clips that I played for you. You're going to need to find consistency in the way that you play. I think you're seeing a team that's harder to break down. You're seeing a team that is figuring out that, hey, we can get forward fast and play in the other half that way as opposed to always trying to build up. That's going to give you a little more versatility. You got to be consistent in the effort, in the scrappiness, in the defensive solidity for sure. You got to be able to play on both sides of the ball, as Brad Kazan said. The defense and the offense need to be in sync. You need to have a good defensive performance. You need to have a good offense performance, and you need to have them together more often than not. And I think the message that Brooks Lennon shared that Rob Valentino has been pushing to them is no fear. You know, and that kind of goes back to what Ronald said at the end of, you know, believing in themselves. Like, they are a team that has the ability, and if you look at points per game, they would be ninth. They are a team that has the ability to be in the playoffs. I think this is a better team than DC United, a better team than Toronto FC. They have to get there. And the past is in the past. But you have to find a way to get there. and you're going to have to earn it with 7 games to go, 21 points available. You're going to have to win 3 or 4 of them and probably only fail to get a result in 1 or 2 of them to get in. It's going to be a fight all the way down to the end. Starts on Saturday night as Nashville comes to town. We will have the 5 Stripes countdown starting at 6:30 Saturday night from the Benz. Coming up next, it's the 3-4-3, 3 local stories, 4 headlines, 3 things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Coming up next in 5 on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
3 local stories, 4 headlines from around the world, and 3 things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's time for the 3-4-3 on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. It's 3 local stories. It's 4 headlines from around the world, and 3 things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. I'm Jason Longshore. Thanks for spending some of your Tuesday night with me. Let's start on the local side. Number 1, Emory. Their women's team is 3-0 to start the young season. They've moved up to number 10 in the country in D3. The poll is conducted by the United Soccer Coaches. You might remember them as the NSCAA. Really good start to the year for Emory. That's a D3 team to watch. You've got some other teams that are in the national polls as well in the D2 side, Clayton State in the men's, North Georgia in the women. It's a fun season right now for local college soccer. There are some very, very good teams in this metro Atlanta area and all over the state. UGA in D1 in the SEC, they're coming off of a record-setting year and trying to be even better in 2024. It's going to be a fun rest of the season. We'll be talking a lot about it on AST all fall. Number 2, speaking of local teams and some big games, we already talked about Atlanta United, Nashville on Saturday night. You got games starting on Thursday. You want to make the trip? Follow me down to Macon. I'm on the call on ESPN Plus as Georgia State's women will travel down to face the Mercer Bears. That's Thursday night. Friday night, follow me back up to downtown Atlanta, the GSU Soccer Complex on MLK, Georgia State's men. They will host USC Upstate. That's a 7 o'clock kick. You can watch on ESPN Plus if you can't make it out. Then, of course, you're going to be at the Benz for Atlanta United in Nashville. You need a little more soccer action Sunday? We got you taken care of. Go back to the GSU Soccer Complex. Georgia State's women return home to face South Carolina on Sunday night. Georgia State's women, it started to come together for them last week. A win over Kennesaw State and a 2-2 draw on the road at Presbyterian. Aaliyah Fadul, who was the Sun Belt preseason offensive player of the year, she's gotten going on the goal scoring, 2 goals and 1 assist in those 2 games. Sophomore Taylor Vance as well with 2 goals in those 2 games. So lots of fun soccer action to come this week all over the metro area. And honestly, if you want to come down to Macon and follow me down for Thursday, would love to see you. Number 3, there's another game on Sunday as well. If you have more games that you just have to go see, Atlanta United 2 back in Kennesaw to host Huntsville City at 3 o'clock at Fifth Third Stadium. The Twos went on the road. They earned a 2-2 draw at NYC on Friday, late afternoon, early evening. It was a 5 o'clock kick, which is kind of weird. They won the post-match shootout after the 2-2 draw, so they got that bonus point in the standings. Luke Brennan opened the scoring for Atlanta. Efrain Morales leveled it in the 94th minute to send it to that shootout. Atlanta was a perfect 4-for-4 there. They have 4 games left in MLS Next Pro. That means 12 points on the table. They got to make up 7 points to get into the playoffs. It's not going to be easy, but this team has been in really good form as of late, and we'll see if they can continue to get it done. Sunday, 3 o'clock, hosting Huntsville City at Fifth Third Stadium. Let's get into the headlines from all over the place. Start with number 1. Let's go to San Diego. Alex Morgan announced her retirement on Thursday. It was a shock. Nobody saw this one coming. She announced that she and her husband, Servando Carrasco, are expecting their 2nd child. So she had a match scheduled for Sunday, and she said that would be her last match. Last time you'd see the pink pre-wrap. Last time she would take the field for club or country. She played a symbolic 13 minutes in that. She always wore number 13. And she retires with a World Cup title in 2015, a World Cup title in 2019, gold medal in 2012, bronze medal in 2021, 123 goals and 224 caps for the U.S. women's national team. That's 5th on the all-time goal scoring list. But I think what might be most important for Alex Morgan is the legacy that she leaves on and off the field. One, inspiring young girls to play. And 2, the work that she did off the field, heavily involved in the U.S. women's national team players' fight for equal pay. I don't think she always got enough credit for being at the forefront of that. She was also a key witness for Mona Shim and Sinead Farrelly as they went on the record with The Athletic in 2021 to share their stories of abuse that they had suffered in the NWSL, which led to many changes in the way that the league operated and the way that, honestly, women's sports operates. Alex Morgan should be seen as one of the all-time greats in U.S. soccer, regardless of if we're talking about men or women. An amazing player who had a great conclusion to her career, really remade herself as a forward, turned into a target forward. I mean, I'll remember in the CONCACAF W Gold Cup at the beginning of the year, her bucking up and wanting to fight Colombia. I mean, like stuff like that. Just an incredible player all the way around and seemingly an incredible person as well. You know, she has done a lot of good for the game. So Alex Morgan has now retired after her appearance on Sunday night. Number 2 on the headlines, UEFA Nations League. Few scores from today. Hungary and Bosnia-Herzegovina, scoreless draw. The Dutch in Amsterdam, 2-2 with Germany. Denzel Dumfries with the equalizer in the 50th minute after the Dutch opened the scoring. Then Germany scored 2 late in the first half to take a 2-1 lead into the break. Albania and Georgia, Republic of Georgia, Sabo Lobjanidze's side, they got the 1-0 win on the road. Czech Republic in Prague, they won 3-2 over Ukraine. In London, England, 2-0 winners over Finland. It was Harry Kane's 100th cap, and he had both goals in that win. Greece, 2-0 winners on the road in Dublin over Ireland. Latvia, 1-0 win at home over the Faroe Islands. North Macedonia, 2-0 win at home over Armenia. And Andorra, come on, Andorra, they lost 1-0 at home in the UEFA Nations League. Very disappointing for Andorra. Let's move to CONMEBOL, number 3 on the headlines, World Cup qualifying updates. Argentina lost their 2nd loss in the qualifiers. They're still in 1st place in the overall table, but they lost 2-1 in Colombia. James Rodriguez had the winner. He also assisted on the 1st goal in that game. Other scores, Bolivia upset Chile 2-1 in Chile. Ecuador beat Peru 1-0. Venezuela, a scoreless draw with Uruguay. That's a very good result from the Vino Tinto. And the biggest result of the night, Paraguay, a 1-0 win at home over Brazil. Diego Gomez, a wonderful goal from him outside of the foot shot from outside the 18, the Trivela. Brazil have lost 4 of their last 5 World Cup qualifiers. That's craziness. They're in 5th. Now, remember, in the new World Cup format with 48 teams, the top 6 out of the 10 South American teams automatically qualify. The 7th team goes into the playoff. So here's the table. Argentina at the top on 18. Colombia 2nd on 16. Uruguay, third on 15. Ecuador, fourth on 11. Brazil's in a spot in fifth and 10. They're level with Venezuela, who is also on 10. Paraguay's in the playoff spot with 9. Bolivia is now level with Paraguay. Chile on 5. Peru on 3. Not a good time for Luis Abram on international duty with Peru. Hasn't been a good time in our number 4 headline either for Australia. They drew at or on the road. This one was on the road. They drew against Indonesia in Jakarta. Scoreless draw. Last week, they lost 1-0 at home to Bahrain. They have not scored in Group C. They're trying to get to their 6th straight World Cup. There's more slots to be had. They're in a really bad spot. 20 shots in the game. They didn't get a goal. Japan's at the top of that group with a 5-0 win. They beat China 7-0 last week. China's in last place in the group. They lost in the last minute 2-1 to Saudi Arabia. So 18 teams left in Asian qualifying, 3 groups of 6. The top 2 from each group automatically go through. 3rd and 4th will then go into a 4th qualifying round to compete for 2 more spots. South Korea, they got their first victory in Group B. Son had 1 goal and 2 assists in that one, 3-1 win over Oman. Good performance from South Korea. They had to make a step forward after a disappointing performance last time out. Much better. Jordan, they defeated Palestine 3-1. Iraq, a scoreless draw with Kuwait. Group A, Uzbekistan defeated Kyrgyzstan 3-2. Iran defeated the United Arab Emirates 1-0. They're both on 6 points. North Korea and Qatar drew 2-2. That game was played in Laos. North Korea was not allowed to host. All right, 3 things that make me smile about the game that I love so much. Kind of a cool anniversary today. On this day in 2017, the first Atlanta United match at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. A big win over FC Dallas. The vibes going into that was, it was just amazing. Had the chance to take a tour of the stadium as they were constructing it. Fairly late in the construction process, so it was mostly done by then. But you hadn't seen it with people in it in a soccer configuration yet. And it was absolutely mind-blowing. Looking back at the pictures from it and looking back at the highlights of that game, so, so cool. We're really spoiled. Sorry, Frank DeBoer, I'm stealing your line. We're really spoiled to have the ability to watch games and work in the Benz. It's just such a wonderful venue for everything. But for soccer, you're talking about one of the best stadiums in the world. You saw Alexei Maranchuk's reaction to it as he got to tour it this past week. Very, very cool video on Atlanta United social media if you haven't seen that. Speaking of Atlanta United, that gets me to number 2 on things that make me smile about the game. A new GA100 mini pitch opened today in Augusta. It's the 10th opening in the program. There are many more in progress, and there are many more applications that are in for the next round of funding. This is a potentially transformational project. When you talk about 100 new mini pitches and getting them, especially into communities that are underserved, either from a soccer perspective or from an economic perspective, and you bring soccer to the next generation of kids in those areas. You know, I've talked about this before with Atlanta United. You have kids that now have grown up only knowing Atlanta has a professional soccer team and I want to play for it. I want to wear that badge. I want to wear red and black stripes. I want to be that. And knowing what numbers mean, like knowing that number 7 was Joseph Martinez and number 10, there's been some amazing number 10s in this club's career, and knowing legacy of the club. The GA100 project is even more deep than that, in that you're giving kids the opportunity to play and fall in love with the game through play. It is such a huge undertaking, and it's such an incredible thing to see these sprout up and how useful they are in these communities and how much joy they bring to the kids that are able to walk or ride a bike or get dropped off on a little short ride over to a new place to play soccer. Just such a cool thing. Another cool thing is number 3 on the things that make me smile about the game. San Marino. Did not think they would be in here in the bingo card. They won. They won 1-0 over Liechtenstein last week in UEFA Nations League. That was their first win in over 20 years as a national team. They were, I don't know if they still will be, I think they might get out of this. They were the lowest ranked team in the FIFA rankings, 210 out of 210 going into that match. Maybe they'll get off of the bottom of the table. I don't know. But San Marino finally, finally getting a win. The last team they had beat over 20 years ago was Liechtenstein. So Liechtenstein and San Marino, you can throw the records out whenever they meet. San Marino finally gets that win. Thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight, talking Mauricio Pochettino, talking Atlanta United, and talking about the 3-4-3. Saturday, Atlanta United back in action. Five Stripes Countdown at 6:30 on the Odyssey app and on 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, they'll get you started. Mike Conte and I will take over right before kickoff at 7:40. Atlanta United and Nashville. I'll be back next Tuesday at 10 o'clock to talk all about it. Thank you for hanging out with me. Adios, everybody.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.